أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد. We were talking about Prophet Musa عليه السلام, and last week we were discussing from the Holy Quran the aspect which was narrating about the meeting between Fir'aun and Prophet Musa, and how the Quran describes the conversation that transpired between Fir'aun and Musa. Today we want to discuss the two parts of the Holy Quran. There are two different sections in the Holy Quran which talk about the magicians.
We're
carrying on with Prophet Musa's story. Because when Musa alayhi salam met Fir'aun, Fir'aun labeled him as a magician. And he claimed that you want to drive us away from our land by your magic, O Musa. This was the accusation that Fir'aun labeled in Prophet Musa alayhi salam. And then if you look at Surah Taha, because these are the two surahs in which this story is narrated. One is Surah Taha, which is the 20th surah, and the other is Surah Al-A'raf, which is the 7th surah. In 7th surah, you're looking at verses around 105 and 106, which starts the story of Prophet Musa. Where Prophet Musa tells Fir'aun, I am the messenger of your Lord, and what I am telling you is right. And then he shows the two miracles that Prophet Musa had. One was throwing the stick that became a serpent, and the other one was drawing out his hand from the pocket, which was radiant and shining. These are the two miracles that Prophet Musa showed Fir'aun. Then what we will discuss just now is exactly what happened in that they were told Fir'aun and his people started whispering amongst themselves. In Surah Taha, if you look at أَجِئْتَنَا لِتُخْرِجَنَا, this is verse number 57. أَجِئْتَنَا لِتُخْرِجَنَا مِنْ أَرْضِنَا بِسِحْرِكَ يَا مُوسَى, have you come to drive us away from our land using your magic, O Musa? Now, the place where we ended last time was that they decided on a date and venue. Name the date and place, right? So that we can meet the consultants, the advisors to Fir'aun, turned to Fir'aun and said, look, this is but a magician. What he has performed in front of you are true magic tricks. So we are powerful in this sorcery and magic acts. Call all the magicians of this land and get together. Let us have a meet. Now here, like I was saying last time, if you remember, that we got to understand the environment. The environment was one of sorcery and magic. When we talk of black magic with the Jews, we got to understand that since that time, the Jews were brought up in a world of black magic. And so when Musa brought this miracle, they could not see it as a miracle. They thought this is just another black magic act, because they were used to black magic only. They were used to magicians doing these things. So, in Surah Taha it says, فَجْعَلْ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكَ مَوْعِدًا لَا نُخْلِفُهُ نَحْنُ وَلَا أَنْتَ مَكَانًا سُوًا. Surah Taha, verse number 58. When they say that you have come using magic to remove us, now we will come back. We will respond with the same kind of magic tricks. So, let's fix a date and venue, date and place, and we will meet with all the magicians. This is where we stopped last time. Now, it is important to understand that what had been agreed was, if you talk in today's terms, is a special meet, like, you know, you have two boxers, renowned boxers, who want to set up a match, and say they announce that, all right, we are meeting. That meeting is announced in advance. There is a hype leading up to that meeting. And Prophet Musa alayhi salam, when they decided on a date and venue, now there was a hype leading up to that meeting. That means that what Fir'aun did was to get all the magicians together. He set his people to draw on the potential and the expertise of all the magicians living around that region. He brought them all together. He brought them all together and said, look, this is what we are facing. Now, here, you got to understand that Fir'aun was moved by Musa's magic. Whatever magic he called it magic, right? But Fir'aun was so moved and taken aback that he needed to resort to the most leading experts in magic in his country. And when he called them, these are the words now. This is where in Surah Al-A'raf, verse number 109. قال الملأ من قوم فرعون إن هذا لساحر عليم. The advisors, ملأ means those people around Fir'aun, right? His people. قال الملأ من قوم فرعون إن هذا لساحر عليم. They turned to Fir'aun and said, this is a learned magician. A learned magician. That means not an ordinary magician. The clever one. He knows his job, right? Why? Because that turning of serpent from a stick was something that scared them. And apparently what scared them was that they had not seen anything like that. They had seen certain tricks and illusions and so on. But when Musa alayhi salam threw that stuff and it turned into a serpent, it actually scared them, right? So they said, hey, this is a learned magician. And that gave that aura of fear to Fir'aun about Prophet Musa. He was actually frightened. So when the people told him that this is just a learned magician, a clever trickster, right? يُرِيدُ أَن يُخْرِجَكُم مِّنْ أَرْضِكُمْ فَمَاذَا تَأْمُرُونَ. Now, he wants to get rid of you from this earth, from this land. In other words, he is a threat to you. He wants to get rid of you. So now, plan accordingly. فَمَاذَا تَأْمُرُونَ means, how do you plot this? How do you conspire now? How do you plan to fight this? Forget what he is doing. Understand why he is doing it. This is what Fir'aun's people are telling him. Understand that he is doing this to remove you from here. So plan accordingly. قَالُوا أَرْجِهُ أَخَاهُ وَأَرْسِلْ فِي الْمَدَائِنِ حَاشِرِينَ. See, Fir'aun is being told by his people. This is what we have to understand. Fir'aun is being told by his people that this man is out to oust you. He wants to remove you from here. And in his response he says, أَرْجِهُ وَأَخَاهُ. That means, leave him and his brother alone. You know why he says that? At any other time, Fir'aun would have ordered the execution of Musa and his brother. Fir'aun was a tyrant. Fir'aun was a killer. Fir'aun had no conscience in killing people. He used to kill young children, young babies. So killing two men would not have... But something stopped him, and that was that fear of having seen what Musa al-Islam could do with the stick that he had inside. And Fir'aun had not seen any magic in his life like that. So deep down, he knew that this was not ordinary magic. His people were telling him that this is ordinary, this is clever magic, a clever magician, and he wants to take you out. And he turned around and said, no, leave them alone, don't touch them. أرجه وأخاه وحشر في المدائن وارسل في المدائن حاشرين. That means send people out to Madain. Madain is the area that send people out there. يأتوك بكل ساحر عليم. They should come back with every learned expert magician. Everyone there is on this land. under my kingdom, bring them here. So Pharaoh is now reaching out. He wants not only ordinary magicians that are there in his court and performing acts and gestures, he wants the best of the lot. And he sends out scouts to bring those in. وَجَاءَ السَّحَرَةُ. This is Surah Al-A'rafa. وَجَاءَ السَّحَرَةُ فِرْعَوْنَ. That means the magicians. Now this is a group. السَّحَرَةُ is not a sahir. A sahir is one. السَّحَرَةُ is a group of magicians. وَجَاءَ السَّحَرَةُ فِرْعَوْنَ. This group of magicians came to Fir'aun. قَالُوا إِنَّ لَنَا لَأَجْرًا إِن كُنَّا نَحْنُ لَغَالِبُونَ. لغالبين قالوا إن لنا لأجرا إن كنا نحن الغالبين. They say, this group of magicians said, that will we have some kind of reward if we were to be victorious over Musa alayhi salam. They were brought for a certain reason. They were brought to defeat Musa. So they said, do we have something if we were to become victorious? قَالَ نَعَمْ. Fir'aun said, نَعَمْ. وَإِنَّكُمْ لَمِنَ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. That you are amongst those, you will be amongst those who will have close favors from me. I'll raise your status in society. Now, remember, these magicians are learned, expert magicians, but they come from rural areas. They are not from within the courts of Fir'aun. So Fir'aun is promising them proximity in his court, that he will grant them status, he will elevate them in their eyes. Now, at this stage, this is what the Quran says as far as the magicians come. They talk to Fir'aun. This is in Surah Al-A'raf. In Surah Taha, verse number 60. Surah Taha, verse number 60. After deciding a date, and that date is قَالَ مَوْعِدُكُمْ يَوْمُ الزِّينَةِ وَأَنْ يُحْشَرَ النَّاسُ جَمِيعَ الضُّحَى. Now, يَوْمُ الزِّينَةِ was a festive day, like an Eid day they had that time, right? And Prophet Musa alayhi salam says, let us have this festive day where everybody will be together on that day, noon time. We all get together at a place. Now, he did not mention a place because apparently that place was known to them, right? This is what we discussed last time. That place was known that on this particular day, people get together in a certain square, in a certain area, for a certain kind of festivity. Fatawalla Fir'aun, verse number 60 of Surah Taha. Fatawalla Fir'aunu fajama'a kaidahu thumma ata. Now, Fir'aun left there, after deciding this date and time and all that, and he gathered all the people he thought would help him. Kaidahu. Kaidahu, that means he gathered his plan, his plot, whatever he had, right? Thumma ata. Now, this is the preparation before the showdown. The interesting thing you have to understand is, now let's understand the circumstances that led to this meeting. When we have about a match between two renowned boxers organized by a national institution, for example, the World Authority, World Boxing Association or whatever, what you have is a hype that leads up to the event itself. During that hype, people get together waiting for that particular day. In here, Fir'aun did the same thing. Fir'aun actually hyped up this particular meeting because he was so confident that his expert magicians from all over the land would defeat Musa. And so there was a hype. All these magicians were brought in from the rural areas into the city well in advance, so that they could have sessions with Fir'aun, they could talk to Fir'aun, they could have an agreement what they will get from Fir'aun if they win. These discussions took place, these negotiations took place, and they visited Musa alayhi salam, the magician. Why? Because Musa at that time was amongst the Banu Israel. Remember, the Banu Israel were living in ghettos around the suburbs, right? They were at that time living in the suburb area, not in the affluent area. The affluent area belonged to the Coptics of Firaun's followers. Now the Jews, the Banu Israel, were the labor class living in the rural area, in the suburbs of the city. Now these magicians, they came and they were visiting this area. It's like, you know, you want to understand your opponents, you go and watch him, what he's doing. These magicians were told that this is what Musa had done. When Musa al-Islam came, he did this. He threw his stick and it turned into a serpent, a snake. So the magicians were wondering, now this kind of act we've never seen. Right? So Firaun tells them, fine, go and see for yourself. Go and meet, see what kind of person Musa al-Islam is. Now, it is at that level, something you got to understand. It is during that time, whether it was a period of 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 3 months, whatever it was during that time when these magicians came to understand the message of Musa al-Islam. Because we know the story, the magicians accepted the message of Prophet Musa al-Islam on the day, right? But they did not accept, not only they did not accept based on just that one event, no. That was the final straw that broke the camel's back and they finally converted, right? But when they converted, you will see they came up with why they have converted. They believe in one God, a God who is all-powerful, who is the one who sustained them. And we will see the verses, right? Now, if they had, where did they learn that from? They learned that from a time they spent with Musa before the event. And this was that hype during which, leading up to the event, the day of festivity, right? These magicians used to visit Musa to see what kind of magic tricks is he performing. Because to them, world of magic is such that these performers perform. And therefore they were hoping to catch Musa al-Islam and see what he is doing. What kind of tricks he is performing. But all they were met with was Musa teaching. Was Musa explaining the message. And so they were listening to this. That came out from them when they brought their faith on Musa on that day. Right? So this was what led up to the meeting. The magicians were going to the villages to listen to Musa al-Islam. They heard the message. One thing they never did was to see Musa al-Islam perform. They never saw him do any tricks, and therefore they could not understand on what basis Musa performs his tricks. Because normally anybody who does perform tricks has a style, has a theme, has a strategy. They wanted to do that. I mean, you can imagine how intelligent people were at that time. You know, today at a football match, also you will find the coach go and visit the opponent's team and see how the opponent's team plays. Why? So that he knows how they play, how they pass to each other, and he can train his team accordingly so that when they meet, this scouting, this studying the opponents is something that was there at that time. I mean, you can imagine how intelligent people were at that time. Given these resources might not have been with them the way we have, you know, media and TV and all that may not have been there. But they were intelligent enough that to prepare for a fight against Musa al-Islam, a showdown, right? We've got to study how Musa performs his tricks, what are his themes, what are his styles, so that we can combat. But at the end, they found they had nothing. And therefore they relied on reports given to them on what Musa had done in the palace on the first day when he met Firaun. And that is that one particular act of throwing the stick that turns into a serpent. Now, that itself was something that was so powerful that it led to these magicians training within themselves to be able to do something similar. Look at how Surah Taha now explains the actual meeting, right? When these magicians come, Prophet Musa addresses them. This is Surah Taha, verse number 61. قَالَ لَهُمْ مُوسَى وَيْلَكُمْ لا تفتروا على الله كذبا فيسحتكم بعذاب. Musa is addressing the magicians. Woe be unto thee. Don't be bold enough to belie what God has sent to you. Otherwise the punishment will be come down and include you. فَيُسْحِتَكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ. That means تَمْنِ سَاتِلِيَسْ. That azab, that come together and you will be drawn into it. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنِ افْتَرَى. Whoever has belied, whoever has dared defy the message of God is always a loser. Now, first of all, this particular style in which a prophet, right, whether there is a showdown, whether there is any meeting, whether there is any public exposure, the first message they give is the message of Allah. You know, if you look at Surah Yusuf, when he was in prison, and those two inmates came to him and said, "We have dreamt this, can you tell us, right, what is the interpretation of this dream?" Prophet Yusuf starts teaching them with Tawheed first, in Surah Yusuf, right? He doesn't tell them the interpretation of the dream straight away. He knows they want the interpretation. He knows I will tell them what I understand from this. But my duty as a messenger is first to tell them that there is only one God and believe in one God. Even inside the prison, Yusuf alayhi salam is doing what he has been asked to do by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here, Prophet Musa alayhi salam does the same thing. That although the magicians have come for a cause, for a reason, and that is the showdown of magic powers, the power of sorcery. But Musa alayhi salam says, no, this more important than the magic act itself is belief in Allah. Why don't you believe in Allah and don't defy Him, otherwise the punishment that comes will come and encompass you as well. فَتَنَازَعُوا أَمْرَهُمْ. See, the magicians started arguing between themselves. These were the cracks that started to appear. And these cracks appeared not because Musa gave them this one sentence and said that Allah will come to you as well. No, it was because over the past weeks that led up to the festive day in which they met, over the past weeks, these magicians had been witnessing Musa and had seen and had heard his message. And already they were inclined to listen to him more, understand more the message of Musa alayhi salam. So these cracks appeared between them. And when Musa alayhi salam on that day struck out and said, "Don't fight me, don't argue with me, don't do what you're doing because you're defying God," between themselves they started arguing. Because some people were inclined to give up there and then. Some of the magicians were inclined to give up their end. فَتَنَازَعُوا أَمْرَهُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ وَأَسَرُوا النَّجْوَى. Now they started talking to each other in whispers. They started talking to each other in whispers, not because they didn't want Musa to hear, but because they didn't want Fir'aun to hear also what they were doing. They had not told Fir'aun. Then now, قَالُوا here is referred to people of Fir'aun, right? إِنْ هَذَانِي لَسَاحِرَانِي يُرِيدَانِي أَنْ يُخْرِجَاكُمْ مِنْ أَرْضِكُمْ بِسِحْرِهِمَا وَيَذْهَبَا بِطَرِيقَتِكُمُ الْمُثْلَى. That means these are only two ordinary magicians who have nothing but the mission to drive you away from your land and drive you away from your lifestyle, the path that you have chosen. Your lifestyle of being a magician, فَأَجْمَعُوا كَيْدَكُمْ ثُمَّ أَتُوا صَفَّةً. So gather your strength together. ثُمَّ أَتُوا صَفَّةً, that means come to him, face him united in one rank. So this was a message that was coming from outside them. There were cracks appearing within them. Fir'aun or one of his person had seen that this is dangerous. This is not right, them talking in whispers to each other when Musa has said something. Therefore, let me put my words in. وَقَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْيَوْمَ مَنِ اسْتَعْلَى. Today is the day. Success is in the hands of those who are victorious. Now you see the conversation is going around another direction here. Forget Musa's message, forget the punishment, forget one God. Remember, you are here to face these guys. This is what will happen. And whatever happens, if you win today, you're going to become extremely powerful. So, show down then. Alu ya Musa, imma an tulqiya, wa imma an nakuna awwala man alqa. Now, this is Surah Taha explaining. The magician said, because there was that dissent, that whispering, now Fir'aun and his people had convinced them, no, you've got to do this, these are just ordinary two magicians. So the magicians turned to Musa and said, alright, now either you perform a trick or we do it. You start, or we start. So Musa says, قَالَ بَلْ أَلْقُمْ. You start. You know what you have to do. فَإِذَا حِبَالُهُمْ وَعِصِيُّهُمْ يُخَيَّلُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ سِحْرِهِمْ أَنَّهَا تَسَعَى. They had ropes in their hand and they had small sticks in their hand. حِبَالُهُمْ وَعِصِيُّهُمْ, that means their small ropes and their sticks. يُخَيَّلُ إِلَيْهِ, that means they thought, this is really, if I use the correct word in terms of magic and sorcery, it is illusion. Because to them it appeared, يُخَيَّلُ إِلَيْهِ, خيال. يُخَيَّلُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ سِحْرِهِمْ أَنَّهَا تَسْعَى. Right? So this was an illusion to them by their magic, that this is moving. أَنَّهَا تَسْعَى, these ropes and these sticks are moving. Now these are moving. Allah does not say, you see, this is the choice of words. Allah does not say that they threw the rocks and sticks and it started moving, no. Allah says that it appeared to them, يُخَيَّلُ إِلَيْهِ, as if it is moving, by their magic. And to me, this is a world of illusions. Whether you use mass hypnotism, whether you use deception, or you use any kind of these tricks that are in magic kingdom, right? Which does exist, I mean, nobody can deny that, right? It still is deception, and that it appears to do something that it actually is not doing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word يُخَيَّلُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ سِحْرِهِمْ أَنَّهَا تَسْعَى. And immediately the reaction of Musa, فَأَوْجَسَ فِي نَفْسِهِ خِيفَةَ مُوسَى. That immediately Musa alayhi salam felt a shiver run up his spine. You know, when you get scared of something, when you get frightened, right? Musa alayhi salam got frightened. When they threw those ropes and sticks, and they appeared like as if they were moving, that means everybody looking down there was looking at sticks and ropes that were moving like small snakes, right? When Musa saw that, a chill ran down the spine of Musa. This is فَأَوْجَسَ فِي نَفْسِهِ خِيفَةَ مُوسَى, that Musa got frightened. He, you know why? Because there was that sense of deja vu, you know, that this is something that I did in Fir'aun's palace. They have come up with the same thing. They have thrown their sticks and ropes and it is moving like a snake. This is what I did. I threw a stick and it became a small snake. I mean, it became a snake that started moving. So this is what they're doing. Now, he felt that fear in him. Now, how will I combat this? That sense of, you know, fear ran down his spine. قُلْنَا لَا تَخَفْ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْأَعْلَىٰ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired it. So don't be afraid. You are going to be victorious. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْأَعْلَىٰ. A'la means uchu, higher, right? You're the one who's going to be victorious. So, you can imagine that this is a huge arena where there are all people gathered together on a very festive day, watching to see, and everybody is hopeful that Musa will lose. And these magicians are asked to do their magic act first, and they do exactly what Musa did. They have all heard that this is what Musa did. Everybody has heard. And when the magicians did what they did, which was exactly what Musa had done before, people were happy. I mean, you can imagine possibly cheering. Let's see, what have you done? I mean, what new have you come up with? These people can't do what you did. And that's what instilled or created that fear in Musa's heart. However, now what? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately inspired it to him. La takhaf. Don't be frightened. Innaka antal a'la. You are going to be victorious. وَأَلْقِ مَا فِي يَمِينِكَ تَلْقَفْ مَا صَنَعُوا. Throw what is in your right hand. It will devour, it will start eating what they have made, what they have created. إِنَّمَا صَنَعُوا كَيْدَ سَاحِرٍ. What they have done is just a magic act. وَلَا يُفْلِحُ السَّاحِرُ حَيْثُ أَتَى. A magician has no place in success, whatever it is. لا يفلح. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to draw the attention that this is the line you draw between magic acts and Allah. There is a huge difference. We cannot be deceived by phenomena. You see what happens when one is going, you know, back in East Africa, you have this Malim doing some kind of magic trick. And we get deceived that, oh, this can happen using the blood of chickens or using eggs on which to write some du'as. And the beauty is that these Malims use the Quran and use to do these things. And we get deceived by it. I mean, these are magic tricks. I mean, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, any kind of this. Mind you, it is not only the illusions of a performer that we are talking about. We are even talking about that sorcery and that witchcraft and that black magic that the Quran has mentioned in the story of Qarun, in the story of the two angels, Harut and Marut. Where they came and they taught the people some words which they could use to divide between a husband and his wife, to break or separate them. Right? Now these words, the recitation of these words were used by these people to break marriages and so on. Allah mentions these things because these things do exist. Don't deny it. We can't be in state of denial and say these don't exist. Ya all humbug, no, it does exist. The difference is, لا يفلح كيد الساحر حيث أتى. They will do things. But these will never ever be victorious. These will never win in the long run. The magicians in front of Prophet Musa did exactly what Prophet Musa had done. They saw, everybody saw that these small sticks and ropes turned into small snakes. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more powerful and He says, this is useless. You are going to show them what a miracle is, what power from Allah is. So throw what is in your right hand and it will devour and start eating what they have done and see what. Now, immediately when that happened, what happened as a result? These magicians, فَأُلْقِيَ السَّحَرَةُ سُجَّدًا قَالُوا آمَنَّا بِرَبِّ هَارُونَ وَمُوسَى. They fell down to earth. سُجَّدًا, doing performing such, they're bowing down. Okay, now we have brought faith on the Lord of Musa and Harun. Why did they do that? Because even within the magic acts, whilst they could, perform and produce something that is moving, they could not have the act of devouring, the act of eating away, because that disappears totally. This was a serpent created from the stick or from the staff of Musa al-Islam that not only ate everything away, but then Musa al-Islam took it away and it was a stick again. So where did those sticks go? Where did those ropes go? And immediately, because those who perform tricks, knowing that, alright, you move it from one place, you have to put it in another place. True, away from the eyes of people, true that it seems to people that it has disappeared, but in the end, it has to be somewhere. So, even in the world of magic, this was something that they could not explain. This was beyond their comprehension. And that is why they labeled this immediately that it is not an ordinary magic trick, it is indeed a divine feat from Sunapa. So they immediately accepted Musa's message. Now, when the magicians, and you can imagine there are thousands of people, tens of thousands of people who have gathered together to see this, and there is pin drop silence. Now when Musa's miracle, when Musa al-Islam's miracle actually devours what they had done, they are all taken aback. Right? There is silence, and in that silence the magicians first throw themselves down, prostrate, and say, "We bring faith on the Lord of Musa and Harun." Now, this has gone totally against what Fir'aun was expecting. Fir'aun did not expect this. Fir'aun expected Musa to be defeated. Fir'aun expected Musa to be humiliated. And here, events were turning different to what he had planned. So, he said these words. What did Fir'aun say? Fir'aun said, قَالَ آمَنْتُمْ لَهُ قَبْلَ أَنْ آذَنَ لَكُمْ. You have brought faith before I permit you to do. Now here, Mufassirin asked this question, why did they need Fir'aun's permission? Remember, these were not people who were Fir'aun's cronies. They were not from the palace or courts of Fir'aun. These were people who had come from far and wide. So, why did they need Fir'aun's permission? And there is some indication in history that no, these magicians, who, after having seen Musa al-Islam, had sat down negotiating with Fir'aun that if we win, what is in there for us? So they had negotiated, right? And during that negotiation, they had told Fir'aun that what happens if Musa is right? If Musa is right and if we are defeated, what happens then? And Fir'aun had apparently to buy time, to console them, to pacify them, and say that look, if Musa is right, we will all bring faith in his Lord. We will all bring faith. If he is right and he has a message and he is powerful, we'll all believe in what the message is bringing. When these magicians fell down and said, we believe in the Lord of Fir'aun, in the Lord of Harun and Musa, Fir'aun immediately asked, why did you precede me? Why did you jump the gun? I had told you we will do it. But not now. Fir'aun had no intention, obviously. Right? And the magicians knew that Fir'aun had no intention. So, the reason why Fir'aun asks this question, not that because they were slaves of Fir'aun or he had control over them, no. It was because he was party to an agreement that if Musa is proved right, then we will all together believe in his message. Because these magicians believed before Fir'aun, or rather declared their belief before Fir'aun, Fir'aun gets upset and says, why do you declare your belief before I come in, before I tell you to, right? إِنَّهُ لَكَبِيرُكُمْ الَّذِي عَلَّمَكُمُ السِّحْرَ. It is the chief, the big chief. I am your grand magician, as they have it, you know, the greatest one. Who taught you how to do magic? Now, mind you, this does not mean that Fir'aun was of a caliber as high as these magicians, no. Fir'aun had bestowed on himself the title of the grand magician by virtue of him being a ruler. Because he was the king, he had to be the great wizard, right? Otherwise, you know, people would laugh at him. So, he had this title, number one. Number two, when he said, I am the kabirkum, الَّذِي عَلَّمَكُمُ السِّحْرَ. If he was the most learned and most powerful, he would have had no need to call all these people to fight Musa. The fact that he called all these people shows that he did not know how to combat Musa al-Islam. He needed people more learned than him. But it is Fir'aun who had taught them, meaning that he had financed their education. In other words, he had funded their training. That is why he claims responsibility that this is, I have taught you. I have made it possible that you have got to this level of training. That's what Fir'aun had done. right? So إنه لكبيركم الذي علمكم السحر فلا أقطعن أيديكم وأرجلكم من خلاف ولا أصلبنكم في جذوع النخل. This particular threat that Fir'aun gave to the magicians was typical of Fir'aun. Fir'aun was renowned for a certain style of torture. This was the style of torture, that he would chop off limbs opposite ends. If he would chop off the right hand, then he would chop off the left leg, right? And then with the other two limbs that were there, he would hang and crucify the person that he was torturing. So, fi juzu' al-nakhl, that means in the bark of a palm tree. So he reminds them, look, I can do this to you. This is what I do to people who defy me, who cross my path. I will chop off your limbs at different angles. Ala khilaf means, the right leg and the left hand. So I will do this to you and crucify. Wala usallibannakum. I will crucify you fi judu'i an-nakhl, and palm trees. Wala ta'lamunna ayyuna ashaddu adhaban wa abqa. And you will learn who is more severe, more painful in the punishment and the torture that is meted out. قَالُوا لَمْ نَأْثِرَكَ عَلَى مَا جَاءَنَا مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالَّذِي فَطَرَنَا. You will not scare us. That steadfastness that was displayed by the magicians could not have come by just witnessing that one particular act. It had to be a series of lessons, a series of teachings they must have heard from Musa al-Islam, such that they were so convinced that that particular miracle that they saw, just, it was like the coin second. That now, yes, this is the final thing. Nothing will change our conviction. So even the threats that were given by Fir'aun that were physically so bad, says, this is not going to harm us, this is not going to change us. You will not influence any change in us. Because جَاءَنَا مِنَ الْبَيْنَاتِ, we have seen the clear signs. الَّذِي فَطَرَنَا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this inclination within us, the fitrah. فَقْضِي مَا أَنْتَقَى, do what you have to do. إِنَّمَا تَقْضِي هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا, that you are doing what is going to be relevant to us only in this world. Imagine the level of understanding these people had. From a level of atheism and sorcery and magic tricks, getting to a level where now they are teaching Fir'aun what Musa has come up. They are telling Fir'aun and his people that even if you kill us, we are not going to do anything, because what you are going to change is only our worldly life. Right? Now, that conviction does not come by seeing or witnessing one act. It comes from having understood the teachings that Musa al-Islam had taught them, because they were visiting. Now, these magicians were visiting Musa in the suburbs where he lived with Banu Israel. Fir'aun was encouraging those visits because Fir'aun thought that these magicians are going so that they could understand the theme of magic tricks and how Musa al-Islam was preparing for that day. Whereas it turned against him. These magicians learned from Musa al-Islam the message, they became convinced, and it only needed that one miracle to make them so much convinced that even threats from Fir'aun did not do anything for them, did not change their thinking, did not change their mentality. And you see that one, the biggest evidence here to show that these magicians were, had that exposure to Musa al-Islam, you see the words that came out from the magicians in Surah Taha after this. You find that inna amanna bi rabbina liyaghfir lana khatayana wa ma akrahtana alayhi min as-sihr, we have put faith on our Lord so that he may forgive us our mistakes and what we were forced to do in magic, magic tricks that you had forced us to do. Wallahu khayru wa abqa, that Allah is the best and He is the everlasting. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَأْتِ رَبَّهُ مُجْرِمًا فَإِنَّ لَهُ جَهَنَّمَ لَا يَمُوتُ فِيهَا وَلَا يَحْيَى. That whoever meets his Lord and is a wrongdoer, a criminal, right? فَإِنَّ لَهُ جَهَنَّمَ, he will be put to the fire of hell. لَا يَمُوتُ فِيهَا وَلَا يَحْيَى, never to die, nor will he have a life in that hell. وَمَنْ يَأْتِهِ مُؤْمِنًا قَدْ عَمِلَ الصَّالِحَاتِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الدَّرَجَاتُ الْعُلَىٰ. And whoever meets his Lord with faith as a mu'min, has done good deeds, فَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الدَّرَجَاتُ الْعُلَىٰ, they are the ones who will get those higher status. Now, here, these words, and that's where the Mufassirin differ, that these words were is uttered by the magicians at the time, or were these words, are these words uttered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as, you know, an addendum to what the magicians were talking. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's style in the Quran is such that when a prophet or any good message is being mentioned, when a prophet mentions some good message, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that particular part in the Quran adds a message from him. So here, there is no indication. But most of the Mufassirin believe that the flow is consistent and indicative of the fact that the magicians were talking and conveying this message. Now the magicians have become messengers. These same magicians who were supposed to defeat and humiliate Musa, that shift and that change was so drastic and dramatic that Fir'aun conceded defeat. It was a humiliating defeat for Fir'aun. And at that stage, he could not arrest Musa, he could not kill Musa. And it is interesting here, that why did he not arrest Musa? Why did he not just, he killed all the magicians, but Musa he would not touch. And don't think for a moment that he was scared of the Banu Israel, that if he killed Musa or if he imprisoned Musa, the Banu Israel would rise against him. No way. He was not frightened of the Banu Israel. The Banu Israel were useless people. I mean, we know their story. Right? Fir'aun was frightened of Musa. Fir'aun was frightened of the capabilities that Musa al-Islam had displayed both in his palace and here in this meeting in that arena in front of those thousands of people. Musa defeated Fir'aun by this one single magic act, which if I explain it crudely, you know, if I describe it, then must have been giving Fir'aun nightmares. Right? Yeah. Ano samno, how will I combat this? And so he did not dare touch Musa. He was not frightened of any repercussions from people, because Fir'aun was that kind of arrogant. He was living in that kind of arrogance at that time. Right? But he was frightened, truly scared of Prophet Musa al-Islam. So what Prophet Musa al-Islam asked from him is that, you let us be. Don't touch me. Don't harm me. Leave me alone and my people. And so Fir'aun leaves Prophet Musa alone to live with his people and continue teaching his people the message that he had come up with. Now here is where, you know, from that time onwards, you find that Prophet Musa al-Islam started teaching Fir'aun, or the Banu Israel, all the different teachings. And then those, you know, the nine punishments that had come down to the people of Fir'aun, the Coptics, in terms of the plague, the frogs, the blood, the rain and all that. These things are mentioned in the Quran, these azabs, these punishments, because the punishments came down to the people of Fir'aun. Right? Now, from here, we will see, and this will be from next Tuesday, inshallah, we will see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the suburbs, invites or rather orders the Jews to move into the affluent areas. So they move into the city center. And this frightens Fir'aun. Because now, they have had the audacity to move from their suburb homes, from their ghettos, come out into the open. And Fir'aun was still frightened to fight. And then Musa al-Islam leads them to go away and says, I have taken them. Now Fir'aun is truly frightened. So he takes his army and goes after them, and we know what happens. So from here, after this victory, and after a certain number of years, where I think it was 9 or 10 years, where Musa al-Islam stayed with Banu Israel and taught them the message of Allah. Right? And Fir'aun did not interfere because he was frightened of Prophet Musa. Fir'aun continued to torment and torture the Banu Israel, and that is why those punishments came down on the Coptics. But then they were led away by Musa al-Islam. Next week, inshallah, we shall look at now how they are being led away from where they are to go to the promised land. And in the process, how Allah describes the Jews, their mentality, their attitude, their reaction as events one after another take place in the process. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin.
Thank you, Mr. Noah, and the sisters.
I think you're a bit embarrassed to ask this question because it's something personal that's just happened to a person. But I will ask nonetheless to get knowledge. You talked about the black magic, and it does exist. And recently, a friend of mine who was in the family way, she said that she's terrified that people are trying, somebody in her circle is trying to get rid of the baby that she's expecting. I'm going to meet her tomorrow. What advice do I give her?
Okay, let me just mention this. Like I said, the fact that it exists cannot be denied. But what we have to understand is how we combat it, right? How do we face it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran says in Surah, one of the Quls, Surah Falq, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Qul a'udhu bi Rabbil Falaq. من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد. So Allah is mentioning here a kind of magic or sorcery that they were doing to harm the Prophet. You see, the fact that it exists cannot be denied. The Quran mentions it. But the only recourse we have in fighting this is Allah. Nothing else. You cannot fight like with like. You cannot go to a mullah and say, oh yeah, falano, you know, something, somebody is doing some sorcery on me, how do you fight it? And the mullah then gives you another taweez and dua and says, wear it in your arm or put it under your pillow or slaughter a chicken or slaughter a cow. And no, you cannot fight that because you are fighting fire with fire and the displeasure of God is in both. In other words, even though you know that somebody is doing something, understand that our belief in Allah is such that no harm can come to us until Allah allows it, and no benefit can come to us until Allah allows it. If we are convinced of that, there are prayers, there are these ma'udatain, the surahs that we recite, the Quran that help us, but beyond that, you cannot say anything, you know, Tavis Peroti, do this kind of act, or keep something, a candle, burn it, or incense. These are all using fire to fight fire. It won't work. It has to have strong conviction on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to believe, right? And it's difficult, it's not easy. You have to believe that this has no harm. There will be no harm on you. And you ask doctors in the medical profession, they'll tell you that sometimes a patient comes to them and says, "Ki, I am sick," or complains of certain kind of ailment, and they give what we called at that time sugar-coated Panadol, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah? Now, why would they do that? They would say, "Ki, algorithm." They just eat this. They know there is nothing wrong, right? But because the patient believes there is something wrong, the only way to combat that We call it a psychological. The only way to combat that is psychology. So at the end, it all boils down to what one believes. And it is here that we have to enhance our understanding of Tawheed and say, nothing can harm us. I'm going to start with that.
I just wanted to ask about the fear you described that Musa felt when he was opposing the magician. And I'm kind of wondering that if somebody who's a staunch believer, who's a prophet, who has God watching and on his side, would feel any fear at all facing anybody.
Okay. The question is a good question, because what we've got to understand that it is not the fear that we imagine. I mean, if I and you were there, right, we would perhaps, you know, be so frightened. Prophet Musa al-Islam experienced a sense of foreboding, you know, that curiosity. How will I find this? He knows Allah is there with him. He is confident that he will get out. But the thought that comes to his mind immediately at that time is, this is what I did yesterday. Now, how will I fight this? What new trick will I have to do to fight this? Now, that thought Allah describes as what would happen to me and you if we are in that shoes as well. Because that is the only way I and you can understand. Okay? The equivalent of what I and you can term as fear, Prophet Musa felt at that time. And Prophet Musa was not frightened as Hazrat Hussain panic. You know, we would panic. Now what? Right? Prophet Musa did not panic, did not... But he immediately didn't. You know, his mind did go to this particular point. I mean, this is exactly what I did last time. They've done the same thing. How am I going to better this? And Allah describes that as a fear. Perhaps the right word is as a worry. Now how will I combat this? Yeah? As a concern. Yeah, how will I combat this? And that is what Allah describes as fear. Not the kind of fear where we're frightened.
Thank you.
Any sisters?
Any
sisters?
Yeah.
I just wanted to ask, when Musa met the killer, was it the early part of his life or the later part, or was it after?
Yes, when Musa met Khidr, I think we have missed that part in chronology, because Musa alayhi salam met Khidr according to Mufassirin, and if you put it in chronology, you find Musa alayhi salam met Khidr at a time when he was still the prince in the palace of Firaun. And there are several reasons to indicate why. First of all, there was a chaperone with him together. Wherever he went, he had packed lunch with him and he had somebody with him to accompany him. Number two, he was at a level where there was this exploration and self-exploration going on as far as the message with Allah, the spirituality that he was developing went on. So his conversation with Allah were there, that he wanted to understand how Allah governs this world. Remember, he was interested, his main interest was to save the Banu Israel. And so within himself, he was thinking, how am I going to do it? What am I going to do? How does Allah govern this world, this human society? And so Allah says, you know, to him, go do this, find out. Yeah. Now, there was no revelation to him at the time. But there was what we call that inspiration to him. Okay. If he goes there, he will find a hermit, a sage, and he will talk to him. And that is what happened to Musa alayhi salam. Now this is according to certain... But you find that he is young, does not know the level which Khidr is trying to teach him. Right? And therefore it has to be at an earlier phase in his life.
Quick question. Just not often on the topic of today, because we don't mention Bibi Asya when Musa came on to the river. After that, we don't know much about her, why she became one of the ladies of Jannah, because in the Quran doesn't mention anything of what she did so good that she is now named Four Ladies.
Mm.
And then on top of that, I think I was at a lecture in the other day, and they mentioned something about Musa's sister was, if I'm not mistaken, from the four ladies that came to help deliver the baby for Fatima.
Yeah.
So do we know anything about her?
Bibi Asiya, they only mentioned about the Quran, in the Quran, about Bibi Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun, is the fact that she was subjected to the same kind of torture that Fir'aun was known for. In other words, that Fir'aun discovered that even Asiya in his own house is one of those who submitted to the message of Musa. And according to some historians, it was around this time when the magicians were punished for their belief in Musa al-Islam. At some stage, Asiya was also discovered. And so Asiya alayhi salam was also subjected to the same kind of punishment. The mention in the Holy Quran was at the time when she was being punished, that angels come to her and give her the good tidings, glad tidings, that just be patient for a little more while and you will have paradise promised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the utterances that Asiya had during the time as she was dying in that torture was to pray to Allah, قَالَتْ رَبِّ ابْنِ لِي عَنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ, build a house for me near you in paradise. And the Mufassirin talk about an understanding of Tawheed that Asiya alayhi salam had, was that to have prayed not only for paradise, not only for houses in paradise, but also to pray for proximity to Allah. And that is a prayer or an accomplishment or an achievement that is quite unique. So the Mufassirin talk about Asiya as a very high exemplary figure, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He wants to give an example for believers, that you want to believe, be like, right? So it says, be like, give the believers an example of Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun, right?
Well, going on from that then, is it then fair to say that she would have taught, not taught Musa, but the beginning of Tawheed, Musa would have learned from her, or would she have learned from him?
No, the teachings of Fir'aun, I mean Asiya, would not have come from Musa. Nor Musa come from Asiya. There is no indication at all. Asiya was a believer even before Prophet Musa was brought to her house. And that shows the influence of Yusuf alayhi salam. Remember we talked about Mu'min Ali Fir'aun and all that. So since that time there were believers. The Mu'min Ali Fir'aun, Asiya, all had hidden their beliefs. Prophet Musa's sister, I have not heard of. The four ladies who were with Bibi Khadija were Sarah, the wife of Ibrahim, Asiya, Bibi Asiya, of course, Sarah, the wife of Ibrahim, Bibi Maryam, mother of Isa alayhi salam. And I don't know if it is Musa's sister or Musa's wife, I don't know, I need to find out. Sorry. Ji.
When Musa was drowning, when Fir'aun was drowning, he asked Musa for help.
Yes.
So Allah said that if you'll ask me, I will help him. So how does it make sense, when someone was so, how can he hope at this last stage? What did Allah mean by that? I would have helped you.
Well, this is a hadith that says that if he had turned to me, I would have helped him. In other words, that Musa was so arrogant. Fir'aun was so arrogant that he refused to address the Lord of Musa. Right? In other words, Fir'aun had not understood the message of Musa al-Islam. And he was just clutching at straws to save his life. if Fir'aun had displayed, even in the last stage, had displayed a sincere and in-depth understanding and had called out truly and sincerely to Allah, and if Allah had seen that sincerity, yeah, he will become a believer, then I believe Allah could have said, or would have said, yes. But when Allah knows the very fact, he doesn't even want to address me directly, he just wants to, because he's dying, and he's seen that. So really, he's not interested in belief, he's just interested in selling his life.
So that means, up to the last stage, a person can get the...
Oh yes, up to the last stage, a person can... If there is sincerity, if there is genuineness, yes, there is no doubt about it. There is no doubt about it.
So it's right that if Yazid, you know, but once, is it true that Yazid said to Imam Zainul Abidin that, can I get Shafa? Is it true?
I haven't heard that. I haven't heard that. I've never heard Yazid ever uttering any words of being apologetic or sorry for what he has done.
Who was Haman? Was he Musa and Fir'aun's henchman?
I mean, the top chief advisors, you could say. They were the right hand men, right people of Fir'aun. When he relied on people to do his, to bide his actions, these are the people. And Haman was renowned as good as Fir'aun when Fir'aun was away. So if Haman orders anything, if Fir'aun is not there, then Haman was the king. That was how high he was.
I think it was
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.